third day of Iyar, Gimel Iyar. The Tanya for today is in Perek Mem Dalid, chapter 44. It's on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The page at the bottom, number at the bottom of the page is 234. And we're in the middle of the page. Earlier on, El Tadeba spoke about the two levels of love, the higher level and the lower level, Ahavas Abba and Ahavas Olam. And he said that Ahavas Olam, the lower level love, comes from a contemplation of the greatness of God, whereas the higher level love, Ahavas Abba, comes as a gift from above, not something that we can create through his bananas. In the lower level love, Ahavas Olam, what is the Hizbananus? What is the contemplation that brings this love? When a person contemplates how all the worlds, the highest and the lowest, are all insignificant in their pleasure compared to the pleasure in godliness, he loses interest in all other loves and loves only God alone. This is called the lower level love because the contemplation is involved with the world. He's thinking about the world. He's evaluating the world. And of course, coming to the conclusion that the world is totally insignificant compared to God. But in the process, he is using the world to get to the Ahava. Therefore, even when he reaches the Ahava has a worldly element to it. And that is that although the Ahava is exclusively to God, but it is an Ahava that has a limit. Just as the world is finite, the love also has a limit. The limit is that he sees in God the ultimate pleasure. But the ultimate pleasure, no matter how great it is, does not override life itself. Because the person is willing to give up any pleasure, even the greatest and highest pleasures, in order to live. So that although the person is giving up all pleasures in order to have the pleasure of godliness, but that's not called Mesiras Nefesh. That doesn't mean that he's giving himself away to God. Himself, his life itself, hasn't been moved and hasn't been touched here. He has seen that godliness, that God is the greatest pleasure in life. And that's the result of contemplation. Since the love is the product of his contemplation, the love can't be greater than what he is contemplating. But here in Perek Mem Dalet, in chapter 44, the Al-Tadebbe says that there is a level of love, a unique kind of a love, that incorporates the advantages of both the higher level love, Ahavas Abba, with the lower level love, Ahavas Olam. On the one hand, there's a contemplation here. There's an awareness, there's a consciousness. He knows what he wants and he is seeking it consciously and actively. But at the same time, the result will be a love that is without limitation, that involves his very life itself. And this is the contemplation of Nafshi Ivisicha, that in considering the fact that God is not only the greatest pleasure and the greatest truth and the greatest reality and so on, but that God is his very life, the person will come to the love of Nafshi Ivisicha. He will love God as he loves life itself. So on the one hand, there's a contemplation, but on the other hand, the contemplation is not limited to the benefits and to the virtues of godliness, but it brings a love that is as deep and as profound as the love for life itself. The love for life is an instinctive one. It is given, but in order to bring out this love in the neshama, in godliness, there has to be the contemplation. The person has to experience in his mind and heart the fact that God is his life. Now, in the middle of page Daf Samach Gimel, page 234, the Rebbe says that in this love there is an even higher level. A love that is greater and bigger than this one, than the love of Nafshi Ivisicha. In other words, Nafshi Ivisicha is where a person recognizes that God is his very life. And therefore he is moved to love God as he loves his life. But here, there is still the one limitation where there isn't a love greater than life itself. The love of life itself is greater than the love of any pleasure within life. But it does not include the mesiras nefesh of giving up the life. The greater love that he's going to talk about now is greater and higher because it goes a step further. And this higher love is also existent and hidden in the heart and the soul of every Jew as an inheritance from the patriarchs. So it comes from above. And he, Mashakosuv, Beraya Mehemna, it is the love that is described in Raya Mehemna. In that part of the Zohar that is called Raya Mehemna because it was said by Moshe Rabbeinu. Those things that Moshe Rabbeinu said are put together, are composed in that part of the Zohar that is called Raya Mehemna because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Raya Mehemna, the trusted shepherd. So he says there, that there is a love of God that is kibro, like a child, like the son, the ishtadol bosaravui v'imei, that makes an effort, that strives to help his mother and father, the zachim lein, because he loves them, yater migarmei v'nafshei v'ruchei. He loves them more than he loves himself, more than he loves his own life. This is a level of love that transcends life itself. And every Jew has this love, ki halo av echad l'kulanu, we have one Father, the Father in heaven, and therefore this love exists in every Jew, and it exists at all times. Because although in the mashal, in the human condition, there is the son who loves his parents more than himself and will give up his life in order to save theirs, but then there are also children who don't do that, who don't have that mesiras nefesh. And according to Torah itself, according to Halacha, there is no obligation for the son to sacrifice his life for his parents. His life comes first. That's Halacha. And the reason for the Halacha is because in the physical world, once the child is born, he becomes a separate reality and a separate entity. He has an existence of his own. Whereas when we say that every Jew, the neshama of every Jew, is a child of God, with God there is no separation. So there's never this separate entity. The Jew doesn't become a separate entity. And therefore, the Mesiras Nefesh is not a haphazard one. It's not there sometimes. And in some Jews, it is there all the time and in every Jew. The Av, Kimi hu zeh ve'ezehu, asher orav libei lo geshes, lahasig afilu chelik echad mini elef, mimadregas av araya mehemno. Although, who has the chutzpah, and who has the breitkeit to compare himself even to 1/1000th of the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Raya Mehemna, of the trusted shepherd, Moshe Rabbeinu says that there's such a love. But how do we approach such a thing? Mikol mokeim hari efes kotzehu. Some bit of it, the shemet menu, and some aspect of it. Some element, some fraction of that love that Moshe had illuminates every Jew in every generation. As it says, as he writes in Tikkunim, in the Tikkuni Zohar, that is Pashtusei b'chol dara v'dozo, that there is a influence of Moshe Rabbeinu that spreads into every generation in order to illuminate that generation. Only this influence, this ray of love that Moshe gives to every generation, to every Jew of every generation, which again, it is something we are born with, it is given from above as an inheritance, yet it is hidden and concealed in our soul. Ulahetiavazu Hamisatedes, and to bring out this hidden love, Meha Hel and Vahahest El Hagilui, from its concealment, to a state of revealed love, Lihyes Deis Galus Libeu Meche, that it should be experienced consciously in his mind and in his heart, Loi Nifleis. It is not beyond reach. And is not distant, rather it is very close, in your mouth and in your heart. How is it that it's close to the mouth and to the heart? In the mouth, it is close in that the person becomes habituated. He gets into the habit. He trains his mouth, that it should speak those words that arouse the kavana of the heart, and the mind, that he should dwell deeply and think deeply in the fact that God is the life of life, because he is our father, he is our true father, and also the source of our life. And through this we arouse to him, to God, a love similar to the love of a child to a father. And by getting into this habit, then the habit becomes second nature, becomes nature, and then he has this love that transcends life itself, because he feels and senses not only that God is the true source of his life, but that he is his source of life as a father is the source of life for a child. And therefore he loves his father even more than himself. It's not that he seeks godliness in order to enhance his life, because God is the source of life and he wants more life. He seeks godliness for God's sake. He does for God, even though it doesn't do anything for himself. Or in some cases, it does negative thing for himself. It cost him his life. And yet that's the love that he has for God, that is the love of a child to a father, that goes beyond the desire for life itself. So here we have these two kinds of love. Both of them have the two advantages, the double advantage of the higher level love and the lower level love, in that on the one hand it comes from above and therefore it is infinite. On the other hand, it also comes through effort and contemplation so that it's intimate and personal. And these two loves are the love of Nafshi Ivisicha, where we sense that God is our soul and therefore we long for God as we long for life itself. And secondly, the higher level love is when we sense that God is our Father, and therefore we want to serve him more than we want to live, more than life itself. In today's Hayem Yem, the third day of Iyar, the 18th day of the Emet, the Rebbe writes that every Midah, even those Midahs that are not necessarily good, in fact, even those Midahs that are bad, bad by their very definition, yet even from them there can be some use in the service of God, al pi teza. As we find that the tzaddik of Meshulam Zusya of Anapoli was able to learn from the behavior of the thief, he was able to learn a number of things. Number one, hatzne leches, to be modest about what we do, to conceal what we're doing, to keep it personal, that when a person does mitzvahs, it doesn't have to be for export, and his feelings about godliness and so on have to be kept private. Number two, he learned from the thief that you have to do what you have to do, even if it's dangerous. Number three, that the attention is paid to the smallest detail equally as with the greatest detail. And number four, they exert themselves and put in great effort in what they do. Number five, whatever they do it zizus. They do it quickly and without dragging. Number six, they trust and have hope that they will succeed, and they have the dare, and therefore they dare to try. And number seven, if they don't succeed at first, they try again many times.